Good morning. How's everyone? Good, well, happy, smiley. We are continuing this morning in Philippians. I've got a special request for you this morning. This is a one-time deal, okay? So I'm going to ask you a favor. I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles or you read your Bible on your phone, to not take them out. And I'm being serious. Do not look up the verse this morning. If you ever hear me say that again, don't ever come back. Like, run away. There is no good reason, with exception for today, and you'll see why I'm doing this in a little bit. At the end of the message, please look up all the verses, make sure I got everything right. But as we're going through this today, I want to walk through some verses today. We're actually skipping ahead a little bit in Philippians. And you guys probably know the verse, but if you don't know the verse, we're pulling it apart a little bit, and I want kind of the reveal to come at the end. So don't look ahead, if you would, please. If you want to be rebellious, as Kathy was talking about this morning, I guess then you go ahead and read the verse. But if you would indulge me to just hold off until the end of the message. And again, if a pastor ever gives you that advice again to not look at your Bible, please don't listen to that pastor, especially if it's me. But for today, we are going to be in the book of Philippians again. And so our first section of the verse today is like stars in the sky. Like stars in the sky. And I was geeking out a little bit on this. Excuse me for coughing. How many enjoy going out at night and looking at the stars? There was a couple of those nights. It was right before the Northern Lights, which were a couple weeks ago or whenever that was. Right prior to that, or it might have been at the beginning of that, I went out, and we love going out in the summer and just looking at the stars. I hadn't been out for a while, and it was a couple of those nights were just not a cloud to be seen. You could see the Milky Way. And I just went out and I went, whoa, this is incredible. It was kind of that, you know, 40, 50 degrees where it's chilly. But everything, I think because of the, you know, the atmosphere or whatever, just the heat, there's not as much waves or whatever. I don't know. The stars just looked like in focus. You ever go out and it's just crisp? And I don't know if the colder air does that because of whatever, but I just was so mesmerized at looking. I didn't see any Northern Lights. But have you ever, anyone ever seen Northern Lights before? Taylor talked about those when he was preaching. Yeah, you guys are up in Alaska. I bet they're really good up there. We went out maybe 3 or 4 years ago. There was going to be a big Northern Light show. And so we went out in our alfalfa field and you see this little sliver of green, which was, you know, I hadn't seen them in years. So I set up my tripod. Excuse me again, and took some long exposures, and I went in and developed those, put them on the computer. Yeah, it's not quite that day and age, is it? Dates me a little bit. Oh, the kids these days, you kids will never know the joy of getting that little package in the mail or going running out to Elko and sifting. They used to have, listen to this, they used to have everybody's pictures all in a row, and you would sort through everybody's, I mean, you didn't open them up and look at their pictures, but you sorted through their stuff to find your name. You'd get to the S's, oh, here we go, Schultz, Sandoz, Schmitz, no Snaza today, must be the next day. Then you go back the next day, and there's, now you pull out that package, and there's your pictures, right? Now you just look at it on your phone or on your computer. So I transferred them to my computer. And so outside we had, and we actually did some family pictures. You know, we had all stood there together and we watched the little blinker on the timer and smile. It's dark. You can't see anything. But this long 20, 30 second exposure. And when we brought it in, looked at it on the computer, the sky is just filled with yellows and greens because our eyes are limited in what we can see. But that long exposure lets the light of the Northern, you know, the lower lights, it lets them just kind of soak in more. So I love taking Northern Lights pictures, and I haven't done it very often, but there's a, back in 1995, they put the Hubble telescope up and pointed it at a little section of sky and did, I think, 6 days worth. It was like a million second exposure, something like that. 6 days worth of exposure pointed at the same spots. First time they'd ever done it. And what they found was that we couldn't see any stars. So they picked this, I don't know, it feels like random, but maybe they had a good reason for it. They just picked this section of space where there was no stars, you know, the chunk that they had picked out, there was no stars in it. And they just pointed this Hubble telescope at that, and they called it the deep field photographs. Did it in 1995 and 6, and then they did some in 2004. Like, they've done a number of these over the years. But this is one of the images. So it's just like my Northern Lights, you know, the little sliver of green, and you bring it inside, and all of a sudden, oh, that's what it looks like. So they pointed it and exposed it for day after day for like 6 days, and that's what they came up with. So a chunk of sky that was completely black, pointed it at that, exposed it for a few days, and that's what they came with. Stars upon stars upon stars. And I was reading a little bit because I knew I was going to use this in my message, and I've used this picture or one like this before because I love talking about some of this geeky stuff, and much to your chagrin sometimes. But all of these stars that they found where they didn't think there was any stars, and you know, they're further off in the distance and they're dimmer, but once they expose it longer, then they can see them. And I was curious at how big of a slice of sky, like just for reference here on Earth, everything's from that reference because that's where we're at. We're here on Earth. So when you look up into the sky, you know, oftentimes the Big Dipper, you know, let's say, and I think this was just above the Big Dipper, but maybe not. But, you know, the Big Dipper is what, you know, like this big or something like that. Kind of if you're like holding it out, that's kind of how they judge things, you know, the solar unit or whatever is like, you know, because you can kind of cover up the thumb with whatever size. They kind of use that arm's length, how big things are. And so, you know, a chunk of sky like that. I was wondering how big a chunk of sky that this is, because there's thousands upon thousands there. And you're going, like, how wide? Okay, the Hubble telescope is up in space. Like, how wide of a view? Like, if you ever use cameras with an adjustable lens, I mean, you can zoom in, or you can zoom way out to where you're seeing, like, you know, sides of things. Like, how big of a chunk of sky? So, at arm's length, how big of a chunk of sky do you think that would be? You know, like a big cardboard pizza box? Do you think it'd be like a sheet of paper? You think it would be, you know, like a school bus size? You know, I don't know. Like, any thoughts? Like, you don't have to answer, but do you have any idea, like, how big of a chunk of sky that is held at arm's length, like, for our vision, you know, for reference point? Size of a dime? What's that? Postage stamp? It is actually, if you took a grain of sand, held it at arm's length, that's the image that you get. That's how many stars. Oh, and there's one more thing I do need to tell you. Those aren't stars. Those are galaxies. And each one of those points of light, this is 100 billion to 800 or 900 billion stars. There's 400 or 500 billion stars. Hundreds of billions of stars. And every one of those points of light are galaxies. Those are not stars. Every one of those are galaxies, and in every one of those galaxies are billions upon billions of stars. Yeah, exactly. Someday we'll go there. Yes, exactly. And so I was just kind of geeking out on that and going, God, you have displayed yourself in so many magnificent ways. So, talking about stars. So, what do stars do? What's the point? They shine. Went for kind of the one way out there right away, right? They shine. Shine. Yes. Yes, when we were little, Aspen had lots of names for our cats. And like one cat would have like seven or eight names. But one of them she named Starshine. Cats don't last very long at our place. We love them. We take care of them. Coyotes and hawks love them more. I don't know. Or finally, they just decide they don't love it there, and they go to the neighbor's place or something. Is it us? I don't know. But so Starshine was one of the names of the cats. But stars do shine. They give light. They give light. Here's a verse from Jeremiah 31. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, or other versions say to give light, to give the light by night, who stirs up the seas so that the waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. So this is God saying that he's the one who hangs those stars, who puts those stars for what reason? To shine. To shine. Look at your neighbor. Say, shine. Shine. That was kind of weak. Yes. Shine. It's like you're not convinced that stars shine. This was the easy one, guys. Shine. That's what stars do. They shine. They give light. Stars also, historically, people have looked to them for worship. They've looked to them to try to find God, to try to find something to worship, to find some point of deity or reference. And so I was reading and I kind of paraphrased some articles that many cultures worshipped and assigned stars to their gods, including the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Chaldeans. And so you guys know that lots of ancient cultures worshipped the stars. You know, it's something, they're up there, right? How did they get up there? What are they? What do they do? And God knew that, and he put this verse in. He said, when you look to the heavens, look at this now, and you see the sun and moon and stars, all the stars in the sky, do not be led astray to bow in worship to them and to serve them. The Lord your God has provided them for all people everywhere under heaven. God provided stars for all people. I find that you won't find it so interesting now, maybe. I found it really interesting because I knew where the message was going. So I underlined it, just kind of hang on to that little nugget of information. But God also knew that we were drawn to things, our hearts were drawn to things of mystery like that. And we would be tempted to worship the sun and the moon and the stars. So God made a specific decree, put it in writing. Hey, listen, guys, my stuff is, God's saying, my stuff is cool. Don't worship it. Worship me. Don't worship my stuff. I'm pretty fantastic. I make good stuff. Don't worship my things. Worship me. And so he put that in writing for people to understand. But listen, reiterate, the Lord your God has provided them for all people everywhere under heaven. Number three, what else do stars do? They give guidance and direction. If someone spun you around and blindfolded you and planted you out in the middle of the field somewhere at night, could you find your way to somewhere else by the stars? We are going to be picking people at random this week. Jerry's got an enclosed trailer. We are going to be dropping you off, and we'll be recording that. That will be on the church website 2 weeks from today. Just kidding. Kidding, unless we have volunteers. Then we'll probably actually do it. But for years, sailors, because once you're out on the ocean, right? Guess what? No more landmarks. What's the only landmark that you have? It's sky marks, right? You get to see the celestial beings. You get to find your way by the stars. That's how you navigate. That's for guidance. And unfortunately, today, spiritual guidance. How many people read? Don't raise your hands because I'm going to yell at you. Don't read horoscopes, right? I mean, it's so tempting. And we don't bash people over the head too much here. We try to point out truth. Just, guys, don't mess with that kind of stuff. That's exactly right. God's the one that is in charge, not a generic printed thing in a piece of paper. Don't look to things like that to try to get guidance. But people have looked for physical guidance and spiritual guidance from the stars for as long as there's been stars. Do you feel like you got yelled at? We love you. We want you to see your life prosper. Okay, the fourth thing. What else do stars do? I love this one. They're a reference for the incomprehensible. when there's something that, like, you just can't wrap your head around, like, God, we're going to see in the next verse, God even points to that. And when I think about just how big something, like, you can't Okay, so we point a telescope at a piece of sky the size of a grain of sand held out at arm's length. That much of a chunk of sky that was dark to us showed up with all those points of light. Oh, and guess what? Every point of light is a few hundred billion stars. 100 billion stars. Thousands of millions. I can't even comprehend what a million stars looks like. We can see, when you go out on the clearest night, has anyone ever went out and you're like, that is more stars than I've ever seen. It feels like every square millimeter of the sky is covered with stars. One of those crisp nights where you can see every star in existence. The most that we can see is about 6,000 to 10,000 stars. Think about that. From Earth, the most you can ever see at one time is between 6,000 to 10,000 stars. 6,000 to 10,000 stars. That's how many we can see. And just in our own galaxy is hundreds of billions, you know. So it's like we can't think of numbers like that. I don't know what a million stars looks like. I can't imagine that. And just in our own galaxy is a few hundred billion, right? And there's probably 100 billion galaxies or more. And each one of those has a, like, it's just, it goes beyond what I can wrap my head around. Like, pretty quickly. Like, just in the first, just explaining the first little part of it. I'm like, you lost me. I'm done. Like, I can get what you're saying, but I can't visualize that anymore. I can't visualize a 100 billion of anything. I don't know, 100 billion ants. You know, how would you tell, is that 100 billion or is that 70 billion? Psh, who knows? It's a number that is just hard to grasp. So stars have always been a reference for the incomprehensible. God said to Abraham in Genesis 15, God took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. You think God knew that he couldn't count them? God was like, if you can. You think God knew more than Abraham? Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. God puts Abraham in this position where he knows he can't count them. It's incomprehensible. He can't get a grasp of how much that is. So God, but we can't just say that, because what does that mean? Well, it's more than you can think of. Like, that just seems numb to us. It just, okay, I guess it's whatever. It's just this immaterial thing. So God brings him out and gives him a point of contact. He says, start counting. No, really, start counting. And when you get further than you got numbers for, keep counting. And you can't count them all, but that's what it, like, sets in his mind a place to say, okay, it's more than that, but okay, I can at least get started, because our minds shut off really quick. Like they get to the end of what we can kind of get a hold of, and then we're just like, yeah, I don't know, a million, a billion, a trillion, I don't, like, what is that? I don't know. It's just like, it's a couple more zeros, and zeros don't really mean anything, right? It's just bizarre how big some of these numbers get. So stars are a reference for the incomprehensible. Number five, the last thing that I put down that stars do much more than that, but the last thing that I wrote down is they reveal the glory of God. You guys have heard more than enough about stars, but trust me, this is good stuff. Isaiah 40:26 says, look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? Who's he? God. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. 100 billion or so in our galaxy, 100 billion galaxies. How many names can you think of? Let's stop right there. Like, what if we just pulled the brakes on Christianity? We stopped talking about anything else until we had named all the stars. If you named one every second, I mean, it's like millions of years long to get that many names. 26 letters in the alphabet. Let's see how many. If you're not going to use them, you'd have to not reuse names? Gosh, we need a bigger alphabet, right? And the Word of God tells us that God knows where they're at. They're not missing, and he's got a name for them, each one of them. Wow. Like, just right, just that chunk of information, like that one little nugget should be enough to stir our faith and to to give us a perspective of how God is sitting over this thing. God's like, yeah, you don't even have to memorize the names. Just say them all. Go ahead. Just do you get what kind of a monumental statement this is? And we read through this stuff and we're like, whoa, he names the stars. And we move on and we're like, God, how come you never, you know, we're like, wait a minute. Hold on, church. Hold on. Wait a minute. Look at the word of God here. He names every star. He knows their position. He knows where they're at. He didn't lose one under the couch last week, right? They're up. We can't keep track. We lost Callie's boots this morning. Her favorite boots, the ones she always wears. Where'd the boots go? No idea. I lost my slipper. We spent Thanksgiving weekend looking for my other slipper. We finally found it. Aspen said, it's under the couch. I said, no, I looked there. Taylor went over. Taylor's not the one in our house that's known for finding things. Taylor went under, looked under the couch and pulls out my slipper and says, Dad, you're pathetic. I said, if Taylor is the one finding it, yes. It was behind a thing, and so I didn't see it. We can't even keep stuff on our feet, let alone in our snazza house, let alone keep track of the position and the names of 100 billion stars. And that's one out of hundreds of billions of galaxies. Oh, it's just, it's magnificent. It's awe-inspiring. If you just, even that, if we just spent, we're not going to, but if we spent the rest of the service today, we would not exhaust the awesomeness of what we're talking about right there. How incredible that God has not lost a single star. There's black holes. Maybe one fell down in a black hole, right? Nope. He knows where they're at. He knows where everything is at. He's called them by name. Do you think he can figure out a job for you? Do you think he can figure out a spouse? Do you think he can figure out, you know, what you should do for, you know, next Thanksgiving? Like, God's got this. If you ever think God doesn't have what it takes, just start naming stars. I'm serious. Just like give your mind something to latch onto and go, okay, yeah, that's just what he does in his hobby time. That's like not even when he's really like getting after something. Like he's displayed them. He's put them on display so we can see his glory. Wow. Somebody say wow. Wow. So that's the list. They do all those things. We're going to come back to that in just a second. So we read like stars in the sky. Well, what's obviously something is like stars in the sky. So come on, preacher. We've talked about what does that have to do with Jesus? What are we talking about here? We're going to go backwards. We're going to see what else this verse says. What is like stars in the sky? You will shine among them. Now, we don't really know who them is, but you will shine among someone like stars in the sky. So this shining, you're going to do some shining. So in just a really kind of a deep, menacing voice, just look at somebody, say, shine. Yeah. Someone's going to shine. You're going to shine. What are you going to shine like? Okay, it's on the board. I gave you, filled in the blank already for you. You will shine among them like stars. You're going to shine like stars. You are going to shine like stars. Crystal, you're going to shine like a star. Justin, star shine for you, buddy. Star shining. Star shining. Jim, star shining is in your future. Shining like stars. Get what God is saying here. Well, we haven't got the whole verse yet, so like you'll get more of it. But he is saying that you're going to shine. And we've heard that before. Yay, radiate, you know, the glory of God, right? Shine like stars. You guys have been given a mandate and a promise from God that you're going to shine. Now, there's some more stuff in this verse. We can't ignore that, but we're going to ignore it for just right now so we can get a handle on what this is saying. You're going to shine like the stars, like the stars. You're going to shine like what? Stars. You're going to shine like the stars. How do the stars shine? Now, I don't want to take this analogy too far, But as you guys shine, as your life shines, as the glory of God in you shines, as the work and transformation power of Jesus Christ in you is put on display, you're going to shine. You're going to give light. The Bible says that you're the light of the world. City on a hill can't be hidden. You shine. You emanate the glory of God. You used to draw in the, you know, the old stained glass windows, you know, 1200s, 1300s, 1400s, the halo around people. Where'd that come from? Have you ever seen someone truly transformed by Jesus? I mean, I hope your life is, but have you ever seen the before and after? I remember specifically, I mean, Marnie was still in high school, and we were talking about someone, and their lives absolutely, like their face was shiny. Like, not like you need some powder stuff, you know, like, but like it glowed, like it radiated. And you see Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, like they couldn't even look at him. Moses had put a veil over his face. He glowed. Like I don't know if you could like measure it with in lumens, like I don't know, or I don't know if it's our spirit sensing, but it to my eyes looks like it's brighter. It looks like there's a glow in people's face when they are in love with Jesus. They radiate, they shine, they give light. I'd be curious scientifically. Like, yep, you're about 3 lumens brighter than you were yesterday. People look to stars for worship, trying to find God in the middle of all this. Come on, star shines. People are looking to stars. They'd be tempted to idolize, right? To worship stars. No, we don't worship the stars. The stars point us to the God that created the stars, right? Our lives, as people are looking to you guys. How do I worship? I don't even know, is there really even a God? Like, your life, you look shiny. What? Tell me about deity. Tell me about religion. Tell me about, I don't even know what I'm asking you. Shine. Guidance and direction. Like, the stories that you guys have already told me over the years, just people always, hey, so-and-so, my friend called me. Man, I got to pray with them. They didn't know about this decision coming up in their life. They've just been really struggling. They've been, like, you guys are already doing that. You're shining. Shining like stars. Shine brighter. Come on, turn up the amplitude. Let's shine for Jesus. A reference for the incomprehensible. Our lives should be unexplainable. The miracles in our lives, the healing in our souls and in our bodies, the transformation in our lives, the way that we can... my mom was just talking a story. She's like, oh, how did I get in this? My kids and my parents are always getting used for sermon illustrations. They're not that fond of it, let me tell you. But my mom was just talking about something that was really difficult to walk through. But so people were asking, how did you walk through that? And she said, because I saw the glory of God in the middle of it. Like, and how do you wrap your head around that? I can't wrap my head around that. And she'd say, let me tell you how. It's because you can see God in this. I can't comprehend this. Let me be a touch point. Let me be one of those stars. I can't think of numbers that big. Well, let me just give you something to look at while your faith is growing. Does that make sense? How you just, I can't explain that. You don't have to explain it. Just let me tell you about it. Let me tell you how good God is. Let me tell you how faithful he is. And to reveal the glory of God, exactly. It's kind of the continuation of the one before it. You should see the glory of God in our life. Proverbs 13:9 says, the light of the righteous does what? It shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Let's go a little further in our verse. You will shine among them like stars in the sky. Okay? What is right before this? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to show you. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault. Oh, we're finding out who them is. In a warped and crooked generation. Does that resonate with anyone? Does anyone feel like there's a warped and crooked generation here? Often when, sometimes in the Bible when it's talking about generations, it's talking about a generation. Sometimes when generations is talking about, you know, there'll be a generation that sees the Lord, it's not talking about necessarily like 40 years or, you know, like just your kids. It's talking about the people that are alive a lot of times. There's a generation, there's a society that is warped and crooked. It's not straight and narrow. It's taking everything that's meant to be pure and holy and profaning it and turning it into something that it's not. We're not going to get sidetracked on that. Okay, so that's where we're to shine at. In this warped and crooked generation, the goal is to not become warped and crooked ourselves. The goal is to shine. Shine. Let people see the glory of God in your lives. Shine. Say it. Shine. 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 Let it just sink into your spirit this morning. Shine. Then you will shine among that. Wait a minute. Okay. So you are going to become blameless and pure. So we know that the you is written to the Philippian church, and the Philippian church is scripture for us, we know, because Timothy told us that. So the you today is you. So the you is you and me. Us. We are going to become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. That all sounds great. But how do we do that? I want you to raise your hands for this one. And this is not a guilty thing, and maybe you have to think about this a little bit, but I know I'm going to be raising my hand for this. Have you ever felt maybe unsatisfied with your level of luminance? Felt like you wished you were shining brighter. Anyone who ever wished you were shining brighter, thank you for raising your hands. God, I want to shine brighter. Like, I love Jesus, absolutely. Oh, that comment was not Jesus. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, that attitude was not Jesus. Okay, sorry about that. All right, that reaction, yeah, that not a lot of shining there. Nope, that was not shining. Nope. You ever had some days where you're like, is there still a light in there somewhere? Yeah. If we're honest, yeah. All of us have. I wish I knew what the beginning of this verse told us. Because it seems like they're really ramping up to something good here. It seems like they've got some kind of key. It seems like there's really like a nugget that is going to unlock all of this in my life. I wish I knew what that was. All right, prayer requests today? Let's go home. How do I shine brighter? How do I unlock this plan that God has for my life? This is a promise that he's declared over me and a command that he's given me. I'm going to shine. It's a promise, you're going to shine. And it's a command, shine, shine. Okay, how do I do that? So that you might become blameless and pure. I want to be blameless and pure. That's how we're going to shine. We're going to be stars and not darkness, right? We're not going to be warped and crooked. We're going to be different. We'll be clearly different. Do you have to strain really hard? Do you have to like take notes when you go out and look at the stars to tell the difference between the star and the darkness? Yes or no? Is it like, can you tell the difference between a star and the darkness? It's pretty simple. Like, you don't have to be like, I don't know, is that darkness or is that a star? Like, it's pretty evident. So it's a pretty clear call of God on our life to this level of shining, of emanating the glory of God. So what is the key? Let's look at what this verse says in its entirety. Drum roll, please. Thank you for that. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. What in the world? Happy Thanksgiving. This is a message on gratitude. Who in here knows we should be grateful? Yay, we all should know we should be grateful. Yep, okay, next Thanksgiving. We're good until next Thanksgiving. Our verse in Philippians is telling us that the key, the doorway, the pathway, the process of us becoming blameless and pure involves inextricably not grumbling and not arguing. Do everything. How many things? Everything. Do everything. How many have ever had 5 minutes in your life that you've done everything without grumbling and arguing, without complaining? Maybe there was, you know, in 1978, there was this little snippet. But I feel like lurking under the surface is a preloaded, you know, maybe there's not one in the chamber yet, but I got a clip full of complaints, right? Like, I feel like there's always one ready to boil up. I feel like I've got a good attitude right now, but I feel like if give me a second. I'll have a complaint for you. And hold on. Yeah, there it is. Right? There's one that's just always kind of like, how do I get rid of that? I need to put this into practice. I need to, you know what? You know what? Look at me. Everyone, look at me. Everyone, look. Okay. Wake up. Look at me. Focus. We need to believe this is true. Is the word of God true? Yes or no? Okay, now to the people that are actually still awake. Is the word of God true or not? Yes. Emphatically, yes. And I can't seem to get through a day of following this verse. Partly because I don't believe it's true. I don't keep it in the forefront. It's a cute little verse in Philippians. You know Philippians. It's the encouragement book. It's a rejoice in the Lord. It's joy of the Lord, right? Yay. And it is. It's encouragement. And right in the middle of encouragement, it's like, don't grumble or argue. Stop your complaining. I don't feel encouraged anymore. I'm discouraged now. Wait a minute. I thought the whole point was to be encouraging. The encouraging part is the promise here that you are called, you are destined to be pure and blameless and shine like stars in a crooked generation. Pastor, how do we do that? Shut it up and stop your complaining, arguing attitudes. Any other way, Pastor? I don't know. It's the word of God. I'm just going to say that's what it says. Is there an app for that? I don't know. But I do know that the word of God says this. As long as you're grumbling and arguing, you are not being a part of the process of becoming pure and blameless, shining like a star. Seems kind of intense. Let me highlight some words here so that you can see this. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become. Say become. I know I've had you say a lot of words today. It's a habit that's hard to break, but I just like to know that we're on the same page. Say it one more time loudly. Become.
Become.
Become. So my question this morning is, what are you becoming? Mm-hmm. If you are following the first part of that verse, you are becoming pure and blameless. Let me look at one more verse that I hope scares us a little bit. This is Romans 1. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks. They were not grateful. They didn't give thanks to him. But in their thinking, they became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. They became. So you're becoming something right now. Your cute little grumpy, grumbling attitude. Yeah? Gets you some leeway around the house. Gets you some elbow space at work. You're becoming something. You're either becoming this foolish thinking and darkened heart, or you're becoming this, becoming blameless and pure. Pastor, when you say it like that, I don't like that. I'm with you. I don't like that either. But it's the word of God. And what process are you aligning yourself with today? What spiritual process? You are being formed right now, and you're partnering with a formation process, okay? You know, decaf or non-decaffeinated, right? Like you get to pick. What process are you being involved with? Are you like, and I don't want to overstate this, but I also just want to read the word of God like it is. That's what it says. Like, come and tell me that it means something. Like, show me how it doesn't mean this. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you might be part of the right becoming process. Come on. there's a process. There is a process going on. Every day in your life, you can't opt out. There's no LifeLock, you know, virus protector. Like, you're part of the process. You are in process. You're becoming. All of you are becoming something. The glory is you get to choose. You get to choose what part of the process, which process you're going to be a part of, is what I'm trying to say. Not very well, but I'm trying to say that. It's your choice. Am I going to grumble and murmur and complain and keep satisfying my flesh and then let my foolish heart become darkened? See, there's these two opposites here. There's shining and dimming. Starshine, dimwit. I'm just kidding. Right? Foolish hearts, dim. Mm-hmm. Do I want to become a fool and become dark? See, that's the hard part about all this. Let me be compassionate, Pastor, for a second. That's the hard part about all this. Every one of us, I think, could pass a lie detector and do it with integrity. Stand before Jesus. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Yep. Would you rather shine or grow dim? Easy. Shine. I mean, put me in the shine, like two hands, both feet, right? The hard part comes when I start making agreements outside of that. I start making all these little habits and processes. And I hear something like, hey, it's Thanksgiving. Be thankful. Let's be grateful. Thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful, right? Yep. But then it's about this much ground. I take one step and I'm already, oh man, it's snowing out. Right? Like, I get that far away from my agreement that I'm thankful to God, and about 18 inches away, I'm agreeing with the darkening process. I just feel like I'm not pure and blameless in a crooked generation. Have you been grumbling and arguing? Am I walking with a heart of humility, or am I argumentative? Well, you don't me. You don't know me. I'm German. I don't know. So, get born again. Be Jewish, right? I'm not denying some of the things that are hard to overcome, and I'm not denying the beauty of strong personalities and of you know, I've got the beauty of my personality is I'm able to be analytical sometimes and solve problems. The unregenerated version of my personality is all I see is problems, right? It's a gift to be able to analyze, and when it's not under the control of the Holy Spirit, I don't see with the right set of eyes, and always I'm operating in my gift outside of the power of God, and I'm just saying, yep, there's a problem. I see a problem with that. That's bad. You're dumb. You're a problem. Right? If I pointed at you and said you're dumb, that was not intended for you. That was just... So I'm not denying that might be in us. I'm also not denying Scripture. Which part of the which process do you want to be a part of? Shining or dimming? Glory of God, foolish hearts. Letting people see Jesus, wondering if there is a Jesus, right? Like, that's the end of that path. The end of this path is more glory and more glory and more glory. So our homework today is, what area of my life can I grumble less in? What area of my life can I do less complaining about? How can I change my habits? How can I change one thing? Here, let's finish with this. How can I change one thing that I do every day? And I guarantee if you think about this long enough, the corners of your mouth will turn up. It'll be the gotcha moment. You'll be like, oh, yeah, I could not do that. I bet a lot of your complaining and your arguing starts with simple little things that you don't even realize that you're doing. It's just habits. It just primes the pump, and you just do it every day. That's just how we talk at work. Oh, I'm just saying. It's the Scripture. I'm just saying, God's got a destiny for your life, and it's to shine. Are you being part of that process? Well, I suppose when they start grumbling, I suppose I could say something different. And there you go. Like, Now we're identifying things we could change. And you change one little habit, one little bit, all of a sudden the glory of God starts to get brighter in your life. You start to become pure and blameless. You start to walk like shining stars. Does that make sense? Are we all on board? Are we all doubtful that this is going to work well? If we're human, we're saying yes. But it's the Word of God, and the Word of God doesn't come back void. I believe that there's something, I believe that there's something planted in our hearts today that is going to help you to appropriate this into your life, to make this a part of your daily habits, to start grumbling less, being more thankful, more gracious, gratitude-oriented towards God, and seeing the glory of God shine in your lives. And everybody said, amen. Let me pray. God, we thank you for that amen. And I just, we agree. We agree that that is the Word of God. We want to walk that out, God. Lord, that just seems like an insurmountable task, but for the God who hangs billions of stars, hundreds of billions of stars just in one galaxy, it's not impossible. Lord, work with our hearts. Soften our hearts today. Help us to be responsive. Help us to be people of gratitude and thanksgiving. And help us to walk that out in Jesus' name. Amen.